up when you act in ways you don't understand, you can't figure out your behavior. Many times it's because you're still reacting to your parents, and especially to your father. You know, things are happening in your life. Marriages have been ruined because a spouse has never resolved that relationship with a parent. They're taking it out on their husband, taking it out on their kids. They say things, you know, oh, you're just like my mom. You're just like my dad. See, when you get angry and you get upset, the truth comes out, right? What you really feel comes out. And we say things like that. Studies have shown that people who get along with their parents, who have resolved issues with their parents, have far less stress in their lives and in their relationships. It affects our relationships. So there's reasons that God has put this in here, and there's a reason that He says, I promise you, if you will do this, you will have and enjoy a good life and a long life. And guess what? Just the opposite is the same. Just the opposite is true. If you do not honor and respect, if you've not resolved issues with your parents, your life will not go well. It will be difficult, and probably the stress and the problems of it, you won't live long. And other destructive forces will come in. Well, let's move into this and ask the question. By the way, as I say this, I want you to know that this is something that I practice. I'm preaching to myself here. I want you all to know that Brenda and I honor our parents. We have a good relationship with our parents. I'm saddened sometimes when I talk with married couples or couples that are considering getting married, and you know, they have terrible relationships with their parents or their in-laws, and I'm really saddened by that. I'm sorry for that, but you've got to work at it. You've got to try to resolve issues. You've got to try to work through it. It's not always easy because different parents come with different expectations. It has to do with in-laws too, right? Because when you get married, you don't just marry the spouse, but you marry the family too. Some of you young people considering marriage, you better think about that. Consider that. That's part of the package, part of the program. But Brenda and I, we honor our parents. We have a good relationship with them. And not just our parents individually, but as in-laws. We have a good relationship. We respect and honor them. And you know what? We're blessed because that relationship is there. So I want to encourage you, you can enjoy those relationships if you will work through them and reconcile them. Well, let's move into it. How am I to honor my parents? How am I to honor my parents? Well, it depends on what stage of life you're in. By the way, I'm going to jump ahead of myself if I do that. How do we honor our parents? Each stage of your life, it applies differently. So let's go through the stages of life. A, as a child. As a child, I am to honor my parents by obeying and respecting them. As a child, I'm to honor my parents by obeying them and respecting them. Again, we read Deuteronomy 5:16, Ephesians 6:1 picks up on it and repeats this and says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Picks up on Deuteronomy 5:16 and Exodus 12, honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey. What does that mean? It means to do what they say willfully, pleasantly, and immediately. Okay, children? I was just about to. You are to obey what they say willfully, means you do it from your heart. You do it pleasantly. Don't get an attitude. And you are to do it immediately. Don't, you know, kids have this tendency to procrastinate, to argue, to put things off. I'll tell you what, we should put some of the kids into the presidential debates. They would lose. The presidential, those that are candidates for president, they wouldn't stand a chance against some of the kids. Some of the kids can argue you under the table. Obedience means don't argue. Don't disrespect your parents. Obey them. Now, serious point that I'll share a funny story. When you either obey or disobey your parents, when you obey your parents, I want to make sure all the kids are looking at me. Everybody, all the kids that are under age of 12, would you all wave at me, kids? Wave at me. I want to make sure. Yeah, I see you waving back there, Matt. Okay, I want to make sure you're listening to me. When you disobey your parents, you are disobeying the Lord. When you disobey your parents, you're disobeying the Lord. But when you obey your parents, you are obeying the Lord. How is that so? Because God has delegated His authority, right? He's given it to your parents, and He says to you, children, obey your parents. So when you obey your parents, you're obeying the Lord. When you disobey your parents, you are disobeying the Lord. Now, the kids got up here and sang that little song earlier, Obey-o, I will obey. Yes, I will obey. It's one thing to sing it. It's another thing to do it. You got to do it. But you know what? You have to ask Jesus to help you. Okay? Because we all have this tendency to not want to obey. Guess what? Even us adults, we have this tendency to not want to obey. And so we have to ask Jesus to help us to obey. Now, as you're an older child, young person, the Bible teaches that as long as you are under your parents' roof, you are to obey them. You are to respect them. If you're dependent upon your parents for food, clothing, shelter, insurance, all those kind of things, they have a right to speak into your life. They have a right to set some guidelines in your life. Hopefully, as you get a little bit older, they begin to treat you more like a young adult and understand and give you responsibility. But you see, when you get out on your own, that's a different issue. Then you fall under item B. But as long as you're under your parents' roof, you know, the Bible says you are to obey them. You are to be respectful. Now, let's settle that now, and then we can argue the other side of it, that a parent has to be worthy and not unreasonable as well. I remember as a child, by the way, I was not taught, this is a biblical understanding of a parent's authority. I was not taught this as a child. My parents were not Christians when I was growing up at an early age. And I doubt that they were taught this in church. I wasn't taught this about the biblical model of authority. But you know what? I was brought up with firm discipline. If biblical authority didn't work, the belt did. I'm telling you what, all my dad had to do was just start loosening his belt. And I started to run. I was scared to death. Now, you know, my dad never really beat me. I think I got a spanking once with a belt, and that's all it took. But I remember this. I was probably in second or third grade. And by the way, Christian parents, you're supposed to teach both. Not just firm discipline and say, you got to obey me, you know, sort of a dictatorial rule. You will obey me or you will lose your life. You know what? That only works so long until you can't scare them anymore, until they can take you. It doesn't work. You have to teach them the biblical authority. Now listen, God has put me in authority over you, and if you obey me, you're obeying God. If you disobey me, you're disobeying God. You gotta speak to the heart. You've got to speak to the heart. Parents, rules and regulations are just like the law. You've got to speak to the heart. And you let God work. So I was in second or third grade, and a teacher overheard me saying and calling another student a really nasty name, a cuss word. And she called my mom and dad. And I didn't know it. So when I got home, mom and dad, well, mom was there waiting for me, and dad got home a little while later. You know what dad did? He dragged me into the pantry and he said, open your mouth. And he dumped hot red pepper into my mouth. Closed my mouth. I was like, "Whoa!" Excuse me. That learned me a lesson. So from that point, I tried really hard not to get caught. Now, I think I did learn a lesson. You know, it made an impression on me. And so it probably did affect my behavior. You know, again, punishment, discipline is fine. I don't remember my mom and dad explaining to me that, you know, you're not supposed to speak bad words, and especially towards other people, to call them things like that. Again, my parents weren't perfect. They weren't Christians at the time. They were doing as they were raised, with firm discipline. So, children, we have a responsibility to obey our parents. Parents, we have a responsibility to raise our children in the discipline of the Lord. B, as a young person, how do I apply this in my life? As a young person, I honor my parents by accepting and appreciating them. I accept them and I appreciate them. Someone is going to read Proverbs 23:22. Dwayne Nelson. Thank you.
Proverbs 23, verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old.
Some practical wisdom from Proverbs. Now, as you get older, you become a teenager, you become a young adult, you start seeing the faults and the failures of your parents. You start seeing their hang-ups, their habits, their failures, chinks in their armor. You begin to see those things. You see, when kids are young, you can, you know, somewhat cover that over, but you can't cover it for very long. Kids begin to see that. But young people, it becomes important for you to accept your parents in spite of their weaknesses and their failures. Now, acceptance doesn't mean pretending, you know, that they are or they were perfect. And it doesn't mean ignoring their mistakes. And it doesn't mean agreeing with all that they do or say or that they've asked you to do. It doesn't mean that. But here's several things that acceptance means. Number one, realize that God allowed them to bring you into the world. God used them to bring you into the world. We're kind of stuck with each other. You didn't ask to be, you know, born of a particular family, and they didn't ask to have you as a particular personality and a particular person. It kind of happens, right? We're stuck with our families. We are where we are. And I don't see any biblical basis for divorcing our parents. Now, there certainly is a basis for protection. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Your parents may have been excellent, mediocre, or even poor. But regardless of how they treat you or treated you when you're growing up, or how they're treating you now, the fact is that nobody else in the world gave you birth. They did. God chose them to use to bring you into the world, regardless of the parenting skills. And so, you ought to respect that. Acceptance means then basically understanding, hey, God's in this process. No matter how bad our parents have failed, God's in this process. Another aspect, acceptance means listening to what they have to say. When you're out on your own, you're not bound necessarily by their advice, although you ought to seek their counsel. But don't despise it. Don't despise your parents. Guess what? They've been around a while. They have a lifetime of experience. They see things from a different perspective. You know, sometimes I look back on my childhood and my young years and I'm thinking, oh, I was so foolish. And you know what? My parents used to tell me that. Because it was true. I only had, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16, all those few years of experience in life. And you know, you get to those teen years and you think that, you know, your parents don't know anything. You know it all. Guess what? You don't. You only have a few years of experience, and your parents have some experience. What does that mean? They've made a lot of mistakes, and they've learned, hopefully they've learned from their mistakes. Hopefully they've learned from their failures. They've seen life. And so, listen to what they say. You can disagree without being disagreeable. You can listen, pay them the courtesy, the respect of listening, and don't tune them out. That's part of acceptance. Just listening. Being respectful and listening. Doesn't mean you have to agree necessarily, but you can disagree without being disagreeable. I remember one time I'd gone off to college and came back my first year, and you know, I had all these Bible classes under my belt, and one of my friends was with me, and we were sitting around at the table just talking, and my parents, you know, brought up a particular subject, and we began to talk about it, and I completely disagreed with them. And we, you know, discussed it, and we were getting a little heated in our discussion. I remember saying, you know, y'all don't still know what you're talking about. That didn't go over very well. I was being disrespectful. Even if I was right, and maybe they weren't, and I don't know at this point, it was 25 years ago, I was being disrespectful. I don't think that goes over well with parents. It doesn't go over very well at all. See, I think a parent can accept if a child maybe disagrees with them, but does it in a respectful way. I can accept that. Because I know I'm not always right. I know that very clearly. So acceptance means listening. Acceptance means forgiveness as well. It includes forgiveness. The fact of life is we always hurt the ones we love. Remember that old song? You always hurt the ones you love? Hills Brothers, thank you. You want to sing it for us, Greg? No, sorry. If you live together for any length of time with people, as a family, you are going to hurt one another. And so forgiveness is necessary. Families have to be built on forgiveness. Parent-child relationships have to be built on forgiveness. So I'm to accept my parents. I'm not to despise them, listen to what they have to say, and offer forgiveness. Right? That's biblical. Right? Jesus says, forgive, and you what? You will be forgiven. You have to forgive so that you have a heart to receive forgiveness. The fact is, God gave your parents for a purpose, and even those who were mistreated, even, you know, severely mistreated during childhood, God is in the middle of that. Somehow, some way, God is in the middle of it. Now, does God want you to honor their sins? No. Does He want you to honor their weaknesses and the things that they did wrong and abandon it? No. No. I'm not saying blindly accept that. But He's saying accept the fact that God chose them to bring you into the world, and somehow in the middle of it He has a purpose, and He can take that hurt and turn it around and bring good out of it. Isn't that what Joseph said? And it wasn't his father, but his father was somewhat neglectful of him. But he said of his older brothers who were acting sort of in a surrogate way, what did they do? They sold him into slavery. Horrible. And what does Joseph say years later when he's reunited with them? He says, you intended this for evil, but God turned it around for good. Don't think that God can't do that. He can. He can break through the hurt and He can turn it into good. God says, I'm not only to accept my parents, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I'm to appreciate them. It's easy to take parents for granted. Some of you had super parents, and it's easy for you to appreciate them. Some of you, I know it's very difficult. I would suggest that there's two ways that you can appreciate. You can accept, and you can appreciate. You can appreciate their effort. Even in their failures, even in some terrible circumstances, you can appreciate parenting is a difficult job, right? Time demanding, energy draining, difficult job. Parents, can you say amen? Amen. It's difficult sometimes. And we're not always very good at it. Sometimes we really fail. Sometimes we really mess up. And then there's others that really screw up. Really, really screw up. As a parent, though, now, I have a new appreciation for my parents and what they had to go through and what they tolerated. You know, it's difficult. It takes incredible energy to corral your kids, much less teach them anything. You know, have you ever considered how much easier that it would have been in your parents' life if they didn't have you, didn't have children? There's a trend today for couples not to have children because it's difficult. You know, and that's not a biblical basis, not a biblical reason at all. But it is a fact. Many couples are not having kids because it's difficult. They can say, you can tell the stress in the different years of a tree's life, if you cut it and you look at the rings, and the stressful, difficult years, the rings are small. Well, I think that's the way it is with us parents. The rings of stress that we see on us are gray hair, balding head, aching back, no energy. It's difficult. It wears on you. Think about this for a minute. When's the last time you thank your parents just for putting up with you? Who else would? So we can be appreciative, appreciate their effort, even if there was a lot of failures there. Number two, appreciate their sacrifice. Parenting is expensive. Economics alone are staggering. Did you know the average amount of money that it takes to raise a child in our society? $250,000. By age 18, parents will have spent, on average, $250,000 to raise a child. Again, I'm not saying that that is right or good. It is what it is. You know, you buy the toys and you throw them out, or give them away. You buy more toys. And then come the video games. Then comes the sports equipment. Some of you guys who do sports, you know, a pair of athletic shoes can break the bank. So you know, there's a lot of money involved. That's kind of staggering. There's a sacrifice not only energy-wise, commitment-wise, but economically. Someone said that the father is somebody who carries pictures in his wallet where he once carried money. One father, he's having a family picture made, and he said, you know, to make this family picture more natural, let's have my kids put their hands in my pockets. It's a great transition, though, when you become friends with your parents. You accept and appreciate them, and you have a mutual respect and relationship. And that's something we should aim for. I know it's not always possible. Sometimes parents have passed on, and terrible things have been done, abandonment, so on and so forth. Well, let's move on to number C. As an adult, how do I honor and obey my parents as an adult? Well, you do it by affirming them and not abandoning them. You honor your parents by affirming them and not abandoning them. For many parents growing older, the older they get, the less respect they get. We are living in a society that does not respect the elderly. In fact, great disrespect has come into our society for the elderly. You know that in our society, most other societies in the world think Westerners are horrible. And one of the reasons for it is the way we treat our elders. Unheard of to abandon an elderly parent. I know there are exceptions. I know there are some societies of people that that do abandon their elderly, but in most societies, especially in the Asian culture, to abandon or disrespect a parent is horrible. They think it's terrible. You know, all the affirming friends of an aging parent start to die off. The ones that, you know, affirm them, their peers, they're starting to pass. They're no longer wanted in the marketplace because their skills and their life is outdated. Their grown children are busy with their own families. They often will lead lonely lives. Your parents, if they're aging and elderly, they have a great need, a desperate need to feel and know that they've made some kind of a positive contribution to your life and to society around them. And so they need that affirmation. And God says He wants you to affirm your aging parents. How do we do that? Well, you know, you stay in touch with them. You make phone calls. You send a card. You visit. My parents attend a small church, and, you know, they always joke. Dad says, well, I'm the youngest one here. But they have dozens and dozens of friends in their church. And you know what? They said one of the saddest things is that so many of them never hear from and never see their kids. That's sad. That is just disrespectful and dishonoring to God. And some of these so-called Christian children, you know, are serving in churches and bringing up their own kids in the Christian. What kind of example are they setting for their own kids? It's a sad thing. So you keep in touch. Write the letters. Write the cards. Make the calls. When you obey this command of honoring your father and your mother, it means that you are affirming their significance. I want to encourage you to share with them the details of your life. They want to know. They're very interested. When I talk with my mom and dad, and Brenda talks with her mom and dad, they want to know how the kids are doing. What are they up to? What kind of sports are they playing? What's the latest activities they're into? How's the job going? They want to know because they're interested. And you can affirm them by letting them know and keeping them up to date. The Bible says we're to value and treasure parents. Hold them in highest esteem. Do the right thing while you still got time. If your parents are still living, do the right thing. You see, all the flowers in the world at the funeral don't do anything for them. The flowers are for you. So why not send them some flowers now? While they're still alive. When have you done that last? Well, you know, they just don't deserve it. I know. Some of them have done some terrible things, but hey, none of us deserve it, do we? It's all by the grace of God. So you can be a conduit of His grace and share His acceptance and His affirmation that you experience in your life to them. Maybe they never experienced any kind of acceptance or affirmation. I don't know. I don't know what's been in your parents' life. Another way we can affirm them. Listening to counsel. Give them the opportunity, give them the courtesy of asking, even if you don't agree with them, even if you don't follow it. At least listen. I think that's God-honoring. Now, I know, some parents are just, they're just off the wall. They're just, you know, you wouldn't listen to any counsel, but that's okay. You can still be respectful and you can listen, even if you don't follow it. I think this involves in-laws as well. I really do. We have good examples in the Scriptures about in-laws. Moses listened to who? His father-in-law. We don't know about Moses' father. He wasn't around. But guess what? Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, came and gave him counsel, and he listened to him. Ruth listened to who? Her mother-in-law. She gave her counsel, and she listened. The Bible gives us examples of this. So the Bible says, not only are we to affirm them as they get older, but we're not to abandon them as well. And we're going to wrap it up with this. The way that we treat our older elderly parents is a demonstration of our true faith. Hear me. You still with me? Say amen. I know we're going a little bit long. It is a demonstration, I believe, and I'll show you the Scripture in a minute, of your true faith, whether you're truly a Christian or not, whether Christ has really touched your heart. 1 Timothy 5, verses 4 through 8. Not sure who's got that. Greg Lance, you have that for us? 1 Timothy 5, verses 4 through 8.
Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all, put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. I'll continue. If anyone does not provide for the relatives, and especially for their immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Can the Scripture say it any more clearly? You can hoot and holler and jump up and down and praise the Lord and sing the hymns, but the Scripture says if you abandon your family, you don't provide for them when you can, then you've denied the faith and you're worse than an unbeliever. That is the Scripture, folks. Don't shoot the messenger. That's the Scripture. That's pretty strong. And there's a shameful tragedy in our society today where busy people and busy families have abandoned their elderly parents to die all alone. It is shameful. And it ought not to be with Christians, even if you are at odds with each other. It ought not to be that way. The Bible teaches that when your grandparents and your parents become too old to care for themselves, it's not the government's responsibility. It's your responsibility. Your responsibility. This is the cycle of the family. As time passes, the roles reverse. Well, at one point in your life, your parents fed you, they bathed you, they changed your diaper, took care of you. Now the role's reversing. As they get older, and parents today are living older, living longer, the role's reversed. You will need to feed them and bathe them and care for them. That's part of being a Christian. Now, that may mean all kinds of things. It may mean you can go over and help your parents change oil in the car. It may mean go over and help them paint. It may mean go cut the grass. It may mean invite them over to your house for dinner. Maybe they're not able to fix dinner and have everybody over like they used to. Well, guess what? Have them over. My parents talk to parents in the church that they haven't seen their kids in years. They haven't been over for a meal or a holiday for years. Shameful. That's the point. It's your responsibility to make sure they're cared for. You may have to hire a nurse when they become frail, can't take care of themselves. There's all kinds of applications to it. Many of you are facing this issue right now, and I know that. And God says, you honor your parents by not abandoning them. They should put their religion into practice by caring for their family, so repaying their parents and grandparents for this is pleasing to God. That's what Greg just read. Interesting to me. Last point. We're going to have to end up here. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, what was one of the last things He did? He spoke to the disciple John, and He said, John, here is your mother. In the midst of pain, dying in pain, hanging on the cross, he took the time to make sure that his mother, Mary, was taken care of. He says, John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. What's he saying? He's saying, John, take care of my mother. We believe at this point that Joseph, who was his adoptive father, was gone. He was off the scene. He died at some point. He's not mentioned. But he takes care of him. Take care of my mother. While he's dying for the world, the sins of the world, he doesn't forget to take care, provide for care for his mother. Isn't that a beautiful picture? We are to provide and not abandon our parents. Let me give a word to parents as I conclude. Parents, if you want to be honored, then you have to be honorable. You have to live honorable, worthy lives. Now, I'm not saying that that because you fail that you're not worthy of honor, but in the main, you can't live like a hypocrite and expect that kids are going to honor you. You just can't do that. Neither can you live in such a dictatorial, unpleasing way, you know, that you exasperate your children. Again, Ephesians 6, the verse 4 that follows says, fathers and mothers, do not exasperate your children, but instead bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Paul's saying, don't drive your kids nuts by being unpleasable. Don't do that. Don't be unreasonable. You know, sometimes kids feel like they can't do anything right. We become so critical, we become so negative, there's just nothing they can do right. You are breeding dishonor and disrespect into your child's life. Why? Because you're not being honorable. You're certainly not mirroring God's attitude and God's heart. God's heart is grace, not law, not legalism. God's heart is grace. So don't be a hypocrite. Don't have double standards. Remember the old saying as parents? My parents used to say this to me. Do as I say, not as I do. That doesn't cut it. And that is not a biblical expression. That is not a biblical principle. No, it is do as I do. Paul says, follow me, follow my example as what? As I follow Christ. So parents, we have to set down an example. And don't try to make your child into another you. Don't try to live your life through your children. You know, one person, one you is enough in this world. God wants individuals. He wants variety. Don't try to do that to your children. As you parent with loving discipline, every child needs to learn two things quickly. Disobedience brings pain. A child that doesn't learn this is in trouble. Disobedience brings pain. Every person has to learn that. God says when you disobey, disobey me, there's consequences, right? A child has to learn that disobedience brings pain. However, it's best to do that. Now, you know, it probably won't be appropriate to whip your 15-year-old. But you could take away their cell phone. Talk about pain. Man, they wouldn't know what to do with their fingers. They'd be walking around like this, you know, having finger spasms. Can't text. Can't call. You know, it has to be appropriate, is what I'm saying. Second thing is that obedience should bring more freedom, more responsibility. When they are responsible and they're obeying, and you treat them that way, then you give them more responsibility. Show that you trust them. And of course, as a Christian parent, your number one goal should be to ensure that your children come to know Christ when they're old enough. Very, very important. I would not rest easy. I will not rest easy until I know my kids know the Lord. Now, I know for some of you, this is a painful message. It's easy to honor your father and mother when they're good, godly people, when they've done well. Some of you have had parents who have been horrible. They've hurt you deeply. Some of them have been abusive. Some of them have been abandoning. Your life was devastated by it. What does God expect me to do? How do I honor a parent who is dishonorable to me? God is not asking you to gloss over it. He's not asking you to deny the pain. He's not asking you to repress it, make excuses for it, say it's okay, because it's not. It's not okay. It's really frightening, the rise in abuse that is happening today in our society. It's frightening. It is an indication that our society is becoming more and more godless, and listen, less and less human. When children are abandoned by their parents, abused by their parents, we are becoming less and less human, let alone less and less godly. God doesn't want you to fake it. Your parents were alcoholics, they were abusive, they abandoned you. God doesn't want you to fake it. He wants you to face it head on. I know that's scary, but it's the only way you can get past pain. It's the only way. The truth of you is that many of you are carrying unfinished business with parents. You're wondering, how can I deal with this? You're still reacting to the parents. Chances are the times that you vent anger on your husband or your wife or children or friends is because you've never resolved pain and hurt with a parent. If you're still angry with your parents years later, you're still letting them control your life. It takes courage. Don't hide it. I would say this. Some of you need to sit down prayerfully and have a conference with either one or both of your parents. And maybe you need to do that with your husband or your wife or a trusted friend. Sit down and say, Mom, Dad, I want to be free to honor the good that was in your life, but I can't talk about that. I can't do that until we talk about the pain that was there. You have to have a frank discussion. I want to get it behind us so we can forge a new relationship. Face the issue. It's scary, but you've got to do it. Otherwise, you'll be on that hamster cage. Now, if you can't talk to your parents, some of them have passed on, or you know, some of them have chemical dependencies or problems, maybe they're losing their mind, you're unable to talk to them, at least sit down with a trusted Christian friend or counselor and get some partial relief from it. End it. Don't let that cycle continue. Only God knows the pain you feel. And you know what? Again, He can bring good out of it. Let me encourage you with a scripture, especially for those of you who are abandoned. Proverbs 27:10. My father and my mother may abandon me, but the Lord will receive me. He's saying, God will take care of me. God will take care of you. If you've been abandoned even by your father or your mother, God will take care of you. He becomes a father to the fatherless. He becomes a mother to the motherless. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. You're saying God is God created man and woman. He has all the characteristics, all the character, all the nurture of a father and a mother. He can be loving and nurturing to you. Of course, the Bible says the church is a new family, right? Some of you have said to me, Pastor, I'm closer to my church family. I'm closer to many of my friends here in the church than I are to my own family. I understand that. I really do. Become a part of this family here. Get involved where you have lots of brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, spiritual moms and dads. They're available here. They're here for you. If you'll let them, if you'll let them in. You can be part of this family. Some of you, I know this has been a painful message, and I just want to invite you to pray. We're all going to pray in a moment and just have a quiet moment here. Let's bow our heads. I know for some of you who really experienced a lot of pain growing up through abusive or abandoning parents, I invite you to ask God to help you. In your heart, say something like this, God, help me to let go of the hurt and the bitterness. Help me to forgive. Help me to begin to accept, appreciate, and affirm the good parts of my parents. Help me to at least try to see that. And help me to forge a new positive relationship. Father, thank You that You loved me unconditionally. You made me for a purpose, and You will never reject me. You've accepted me, and today I accept You. I accept Jesus into my life, and I want to accept the need to deal with this. So, Lord, help me. I pray for those, Lord, that are struggling with this issue here this morning. I pray for all of us that we'll take this to heart. We'll see how important it is, how You have made it important to honor our parents. So Lord, now as we transition, we celebrate in communion, Lord, we want to celebrate Your love, Your acceptance, how You have loved and sacrificed for us. Prepare our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask if our elders